Interact, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. To find your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit.
I have only 5 words for you. From my cold, dead hands.
It's time for Gun Radio Utah. No apologies. A show dedicated to preserving and protecting your constitutional right to bear arms for your security and sport. Here's your host, well-known gun rights advocate and chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, Clark Apogian.
And welcome to Gun Radio Utah. There are no apologies, as is standard. We're getting right into it. Dan, thank you very much for plotting that down, because we have a special guest on the line today. Let's bring George in right now. George Bekmazian, and thanks for, I don't even want to do that. I want to save all the time that we have. George, are you there?
I sure am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm one of the few people that can pronounce your name correctly. So anyway,
that's right.
Because we're both Armenian, but I've known George for a number of years, and in fact, 2 years ago, the reason I have George on Gun Radio Utah right now is you've been doing the news show circuit here in Utah. I imagine some other states too, because when when I take you back to a couple weeks ago when we heard the tragic news that Aaron Lowe, University of Utah football player number 22, was shot and killed outside a party. And as well as another young woman was shot as well. And come to find out, the police made an arrest in that case about a week later, and the person's name was Buck Buck. Well, George, you heard of this person's arrest. What did that? Why did that cause your ears to perk up?
Well, this past Sunday morning, I saw a KSR article, and I saw this guy Buck Buck was arrested. And I thought, wait a second, Buck Buck is the same name of the guy who robbed my daughter and me at gunpoint 2 years ago.
At gunpoint
and knife
point,
why is this guy even out?
Yeah,
him.
He's supposed to be in jail for 5 years, for goodness, minimum of 5 years. This was his second, and you came later to find out, correct me if I'm wrong, that this wasn't his first armed robbery that he'd been caught for. But at least his second one that he'd been caught for. We don't know how many others that he had committed. And it was him and his cousin, gunpoint and knife point. And as we know from listening to Gun Radio Utah, that armed robbery is a forcible felony. And under Utah Code 76-2-402, you don't have to remember that, folks, but you can use any force necessary to stop a person who's in the commission of a forcible felony. George, and I have thought through your encounter with this animal many times, and I got to tell you, I would have done the same thing you did. I know that it's been called into question, but you know what? You got a guy holding a gun to your head. He takes what you have. Who's to say that if you give them that they aren't going to still shoot you? Second, everybody says, well, they're running away. That doesn't mean that they're not a threat. They've just had a gun to your head. What's to say that they aren't going away and then will turn around? They still have the gun. They didn't leave that. They're still dangerous. They still have this exhibited propensity of violence and turn around and shoot you. So you got out of the car, right?
That's right. Once the whole thing was done, gun to my head, knife to my side, because there's two of them. And once I had a moment where I could respond, right, is when I pulled the gun out of my center console and I stepped out of the car. And I set up, pointed, and took 3 shots towards the direction they were heading. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, if nothing else, and you had your young daughter in the vehicle as well that you were protecting, right?
Yeah, she was 20.
Yeah. So if for nothing else, those 2 shots kept them moving in a different direction. I mean, am I wrong?
Absolutely. Kept them moving. And what else it did, it is actually alerted the neighborhood.
Oh,
something
good
was happening, because what that led to is, so first of all, in my mind, right, these guys are dangerous. They're a danger to me, and also they're a danger to the community. They're still running around the community. I don't know what's going to happen next. And also in my mind, the police are there to come to do the investigation, to do something after the fact. But in the moment of the crime, we're there. So we have to respond.
You are
the
ultimate.
Happening, and that's,
you are the ultimate first responder. I mean, you were the initial very
right.
first responder. And think about it. I didn't actually realize that this was in a neighborhood, but I guess, you know, yeah, they had basically lured you to this neighborhood. And but think about it. Desperate people do desperate things. And this guy, Buck, now knowing that, hey, the cops are coming, what would stop him from busting in through the front door of a house and taking the homeowners hostage at that moment? And because didn't they go through backyards and this kind of stuff, jumping over fences?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We kind of chased them up and down the street. They came over the fences. That's right.
George, you have military experience. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a former Marine.
Yeah, and former Marine, always a Marine, Semper Fi. So you, George, were you able to kind of keep a more calm demeanor during this? Did you have a sense of you definitely are going to get out of this?
I think so, you know, and I don't know if it's my nature or my training or just everything together, but I felt like we were in control and these guys were not going to get away, and that was what was going through my mind during that whole time.
They were not getting away. Good.
Yes. That's right. And we called 911 right away. Don't think that we just decided we're going to handle it all on our own, right? The moment it happened, we called 911. But we didn't call 911 and stay where we were. We called 911 and kept an eye on this situation and pursued.
And they were caught that time, right? They were caught that time?
They were caught.
Yeah.
They were caught. They had, you know, we had canines who, as they were running, they shed some clothing. And eventually the canines got a scent from the clothing that they had shed. And they were actually kind of hunkered down in a backyard just a couple of blocks further up the street where they were caught.
I got to tell you, your whole situation has brought to light a number of disturbing things, especially, you know, of this situation because you were, you know, essentially tragically introduced to this animal, this criminal, 2 years ago. And he got, what, 30 days in jail? 30 days in jail for committing a forcible felony, to which you would have been absolutely justified in using deadly force on at that time. And how many other stories, how many other George McMazians are there out there which have had this happen, you know, by other assailants, that only got 30 days? That's what's irritating me, because we are out and about and they are shopping at the same stores. They're getting gas at the same places we're getting gas at. They're driving amongst us, yet they don't have that same decorum. They don't have that same sense of right and wrong about life.
That's right. Can I just add one thing? I reached out to Candace Ferrucci, who's my legislator.
Wonderful.
And she said that... She is, and she told me that there have been three acts of violence, two murders and a rape, just in the past year, of people who should have been behind bars because of previous violent crime that they were out on the streets on. So
this is unacceptable.
Telling me,
the people of Utah,
absolutely.
The people of Utah, especially the people of Salt Lake County, deserve better than to be told one thing, that our elected officials in the county are tough on crime, yet they give them 30 days. So that's unacceptable, especially when you didn't even realize this. You went 2 years thinking this guy was in jail, right?
Absolutely. I was shocked to see his name in that.
The other thing is that's very frightening is that this guy knew your name. This guy knew your family. Because you were the, you know, obviously witnesses in there, and you're thinking, well, you're protected at least from this guy, and his, you know, but all the while he could have even been stalking you. So I got to tell you, unacceptable, George. You know, we'll be chatting soon, and you know, some more, and so fantastic. I just wanted to get you on and get your story. So thank you very much. You're at a football game, right?
Thank you. I am. My son's football. Yeah,
fantastic.
Right.
Good luck to your son today in playing football.
And subject to change. After term, regular rates apply. One flex device included. Subscriptions required to access streaming service. You want some fun? You gotta buy a gun. Buy a gun.
Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah with Clark Kapoosian on Talk Radio 105.9 KNRS. Listen, and you'll know.
I've been tasked with finding a holster mount for a stainless steel gun for a hot tub.
Nice.
Yeah. Been tasked by the wife to do that.
That's a good challenge.
Especially now, and now she's because it's getting colder and she's using the hot tub more. So, yeah. So anyway, got that going for you. Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. I am your host, Clark Kapoosian. I'm a member of the Utah Shooting Sports Council. Go to utahshootingsportscouncil.org. Sign up, one, to become a member, or two, at the very least, sign up for our alerts, because coming around the bend, January 23rd, John M. Browning's birthday, the legislature starts, and all the fun, in quotation marks, begins. All right, I have sitting across from me, my good friend, Dave Branham is the, I still call you the firearms sections chief for the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse. Sportsman's Warehouse and Legacy Shooting Center in West Jordan. Fantastic. Dave, we're talking gunsmith stuff. I was at the last gun show, Crossroads of the West Gun Show at the Expo Center, and they had... Well, they had more than, they had like two tables full of guns, rifles, handguns, pistols, shotguns, some really cool, I was just talking about that 686 with the weird porting muzzle brake. It was porting, right? Not muzzle brake.
Yep, porting and had a red dot sight mounted on it.
Yeah, yeah. Just, you guys do some off the, that's just not fixing a gun, that's complete kind of.
Yeah, that's full custom.
Yeah, just, that's full custom.
You know, it's for that one, that was a, if we can dream it, we can build it.
Well, and that's kind of, and I haven't even dreamed. I've got a couple, well, I've got a few guns over there right now, but I told John to just kind of, let's just go with it. And I've got those AOW, I think we discussed, they're AOW shotguns. AOWs. And I told him, I says, I want, I kind of gave him an idea, a starting point, but I don't want them to look normal.
I guarantee they won't look normal. It'll be fun. You'll have a good time.
All right. So tell me, we were talking about Cerakoting. Explain to the listeners, what is Cerakoting and why? And what can you do with it?
So Cerakoting's, there's a couple different companies that make a ceramic-based paint, but essentially it's a bake-on paint. And it's, you know, you etch it into the metal. And it's better than bluing. It resists corrosion.
It etches into the metal.
Yeah. So I mean, when you blast off raw metal, you rough it up so it kind of adheres to the metal. So it's bonded to the metal, so to speak.
Okay.
So the nice thing is it will not chip if it's done right. You can't chip it. It'll rub off, but you can't chip it. You know, corrosion resistance, rust. But it comes in. You know, it's like Baskin Robbins, 82 flavors, right?
Is that actually right? 82?
It's way more than that.
But, oh, it's more than that.
But I joke, it's 82 right. flavors.
And so basically, you take your gun, you want it colored, and you give it to them, give it to the gunsmith over there in Salt Lake, which we'll give the address in a sec, and they take it all apart, right?
Yep, fully disassembled, degrease it, and then you pick your colors and, you know, one, two patterns, all sorts of stuff, and you get that put back together. And you have just your unique firearm.
Oh, man.
Protected.
Now, you got something new over at the gunsmith.
Yeah, it showed up on Friday. We got a new oven that's even bigger than our last oven, so we can do more volume and do some really cool stuff. Now we're coming out with how do we get more Cerakote pushed through there.
You can put pizzas in there, too, maybe?
I wouldn't want to eat it, but you sure could cook it.
Oh, you could, though. Okay.
Yeah, you could.
But you could.
might be a different flavor in the end.
So you can put, like, a full rifle in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What kind of substrates can you Cerakote? Obviously, metal.
Metal, wood, plastic, aluminum.
So now, plastic, does that go in the oven?
It does. Sometimes you have to change the temperature, right?
Yeah.
But they also make an air cure version, too, if you have. But, you know, we've done scopes. We've done...
You can do scopes in there.
Yeah.
I would have thought the heat would have, but no.
At the low heat, you're good. Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah.
So if you want a gun with rings, the bases, the scope, you want the whole thing white.
Yeah.
Stormtrooper white, right?
Yeah.
Or purple or, you know, sparkles. Whatever.
How much of a thickness does it add? Because I'm thinking on like, what about internal parts or something? Or are those generally not Cerakoted?
No, they'll do them. It's you know, 1 to 2 mils. I'm sure someone's going to say there should be less or more, but generally it's a few mils. So you can actually Cerakote it and put it together with only a little bit of problem. Where powder coating, right, is so thick you can't put your gun back together.
Ah, so we're talking, so Cerakoting is actually thinner than powder coating.
It is,
and powder coating chips off.
It does. Yeah, it'll chip off.
Yeah, I have some stuff, not guns, that's powder coated, and I'm like, why is this even great?
And you don't have, you know, we'll do things that aren't guns, right? So we've done motorcycle handbrakes.
Really?
Yes. Guy wanted the color.
Oh, you just opened up a whole new thing.
It's Pandora's box.
All right, let's talk about the gunsmith. I know that you can go to any of the over 110 locations. It's over 110.
Yeah, over 110.
Over 110 locations of Sportsman's Warehouse. Take your gun over there back to the gun counter, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Yep.
And say, we need to get this worked on. Do you give them, should you write out what you want done or what?
Yeah. So there's two things. One is there's a form you'll fill out and just, you can put some general notes. I want Cerakote. And then they will contact you before any work's done to say, what do you want? They'll give you a timeline and the pricing. But that way they have a general idea of what you want done with the gun. And we've had some tickets that said gun doesn't work.
Yeah.
Doesn't go bang, right? That's all they have to go on. And so they call a customer and like, all right, what is it not doing?
But now think of this. A lot of people have a lot of guns out there that they don't shoot because they're in the back of the safe because they're broken.
Yeah.
One reason or another. Am I right?
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
I don't know a gun owner that doesn't have one that doesn't need something.
That doesn't need something. Hey, wait a minute. You've got a guy there now that does laser, legit artistic laser engraving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is kind of exciting now.
It's that's where I have some stuff out there. I said I want done patterns and
insignias.
Damascus, yeah, insignias.
And now I'm thinking I want my coat of arms, my family coat of arms. Now I'm thinking. And so how would I do that? Would I just give him a picture of it or scan it or what?
Give him a picture. You know, if you can give him a digital file, that's the best thing. They'll have to modify it. But, yeah, digital file, and they can put that on there.
Yeah. I'm thinking the coat of arms, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can get so precise with this laser engraving. You were showing me a picture.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about where, if they don't want to take it to any of the over 110 Sportsman's Warehouse locations, where can they go to, I've got it right here. Hang on. I had to move away from it, so I can actually, too. 1630 South, 5070 West in Salt Lake City, 1630 South, 5070 West in Salt Lake City, or give them a call, 801-304-8070. Ask them whatever your gun needs or you can just dream up.
Yep.
They can do it. They can just do simple stuff like take the gun completely apart and clean it. So like my handguns, about every 1,000 rounds or so, I complete detail strip it.
Yep.
But now I didn't necessarily, I don't get a jazzed up doing that. And so now I just go drop them off. Okay, it's been 1,000 rounds. I want a detail strip cleaned and any problems, any springs replaced or anything like that. Obviously, the Cerakoting that we talked about, the laser engraving, sights are a big thing. And now, the hunting's coming up. You work on muzzle loaders too, right?
Muzzle loaders and muzzle brakes. Bluing, that's a big one. We do bluing. Yeah.
You did bluing on my Luger, my artillery Luger. And I got to tell you, looking at that, it was so much better than I thought that it would turn out, because it looks like it came out of the factory in 1930 or whatever, Germany. It's that exact perfect kind of a flat blue, kind of a, I don't know if you what you call it, but they worked with me to figure out what the original one. You work on shotguns, rifles, ARs, handguns, both revolvers, pistols, and weird stuff. And now I just found out that you do parts for motorcycles and stuff, so... I don't have a motorcycle, but anyway. All right, Dave Branham, will you hang out? Will you hang out with us for a little bit? All right, fantastic. Always. All right, Dave Branham.
50% right now at untuckit.com or your nearest Untuckit store. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 6 shots or only 5?
Apology is a word not allowed on this show. Clark Apotion is back with Gun Radio Utah.
Yeah. You know, nobody's apologizing for anything. There was nothing. I didn't do anything to apologize for. So, yeah. Hey, a little shout out to Casey Jane and Kangaroo. Enjoying a hot tub on a cold day in Maser, Utah. So, anyway. You know, you guys do work on, you'll thread muzzles. Oh, and I'm joined by the firearm section chief of the Sportsman's Warehouse and the gunsmith at Sportsman's Warehouse and Legacy Shooting Sports, Dave Branham. So, Dave, at the gunsmith, will you, we were talking about like one of those little Beretta, little 25s and 32s.
Yep.
But you can take a barrel and you can thread it so it will accept a suppressor.
Yes.
So you take a barrel that had no threading, just, you know, the barrel and do that. And we were talking about actually adding on.
Yeah, it's almost like a coupler. You thread it on and then and you can put on your half 28 suppressor.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to do on my Beretta 21.
So you don't have a problem if somebody brings in with their paperwork, obviously, a suppressor and say, you know, and their gun and say, I need this matched up and...
Yeah, we can do that. You know, there's no reason why they're an SOT out there.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, in fact, you know what? Let's talk about, I've had a lot of questions about NFA and what is the NFA? Is it like the NRA? And is it a special license that you have to carry around with you? Is it a special, you know? And let me tell you what, the NFA stands for the National Firearms Act, and it was started in, I think, June of 1934. And essentially what it did was it sought to and did classify certain weapons. So it started, basically it took certain weapons and it just classified them into different categories, if you will. And so the typical guns that they started classifying in 1934 was machine guns, and they identified what a machine gun is and what it isn't, and short-barreled rifles, also whatever is sometimes referred to as sawed-off shotguns, sawed-off rifles, but short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns, in addition to suppressors, or in those days they literally called them mufflers or silencers. And then you've got other kind of odd things, which a firearm that doesn't really fit the definition, and so they're called just, any other weapon, and now they call it an AOW. And then you've got, I brought in to have Cerakoted a street sweeper. And of all the weird guns, that's a weird gun because it's a shotgun. But it's not really a shotgun because it doesn't have a stock necessarily. And it has a drum mag that you wind up, and it's a short-barreled, and it's an overfolding stock. And it's a – so what did the ATF classifies that gun as a destructive device in the same realm as a hand grenade, a flamethrower, a mortar, a landmine. Those are all destructive devices. When they just can't – in fact – It's a destructive device because it's a shotgun over 50 cal.
Yep.
It's a bore is over 50 caliber, half an inch. And it has no legitimate sporting purpose whatsoever, so they call it a destructive device. So what that did in 1934 was, yeah, it classified them, the NFA, the act, the gun. It's like a 50-page act. It's the preeminent gun control act in the day, in 1934, and we think of gangsters and, you know, Babyface Nelson and, you know, the rest of them. But so if you want, and you used to be able to buy guns via the mail,
yep,
and that kind of stuff. Actually, you could do that up to 1968, I think. Yeah.
68.
And but if you bought a machine gun via the mail, now you had to have it registered and pay an excise tax or an excise tax.
Yep.
And to prove that you paid that excise tax, on the transfer, you got a little stamp. And the stamp literally to this day still looks like a stamp that you would put on a letter, like a stamp from the post office. Only this one says U.S. Department of Treasury, NFA, $200. And so that's the cost of the stamp. And that stamp has not gone up in 1934. But I did some checking. A stamp, you know, a $200 tax stamp was one, you know, the registration and the tax stamp were meant to, one, discourage, you know, the gangsters from, I guess, you know, getting guns, even though that never stopped them. And two, to discourage regular people from buying these guns, because $200 in those days is the same as $3,700 in today's dollar. I mean, you could buy a house for $6,000 in those days.
Yeah.
And wow, I hope that things don't catch up with us on that. So the next time you complain about paying $200 for a tax stamp. Anyway, so you have to have a tax stamp when you buy a, when you transfer a short-barreled shotgun, short-barreled rifle. And let me explain also, a short-barreled rifle is any rifle that is less than 16-inch barrel length, or overall, it can have more than 16-inch barrel length, but overall be less than 26 inches overall with the stock fully extended. That's a short-barreled rifle. Short-barreled shotgun is the same thing, still 26 inches overall length, but less than 18-inch barrel. So if you have one of those and it's not registered, I have no response to that. So anyway, you know, you probably don't want to be taking pictures of it on Facebook and parading it around. But anyway, because it is a, what I have heard, up to a $500,000 fine and 10 years in federal prison.
Yeah.
Up to. I mean, that's the maximum. And so, yeah, so nobody wants that. So anyway, so what we've got then is that now machine guns are a little different, because you can actually manufacture a new, or have caused to be manufactured by, a brand new destructive device, short-barreled shotgun, short-barreled rifle, suppressor. They make those all brand new nowadays. Except for machine guns, they are stopped at those guns that were manufactured and registered via the NFA in May of 1986.
Yep.
And so we all, these things, if you look at the different alliterations of the NFA, the National Firearms Act, you find that the 1934, it was due to crime, you know, the gang violence. In 1968, the next alliteration was after the assassination of John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy. Then 1986, remember what happened there? President Ronald Reagan was an assassination attempt. And we see these different crime bills. So they're very reactionary as far as that goes. But you do not have to have a license. Anybody that is, in fact, I ran the list. I got to do it pretty quick because we're running short on time. But the list of what it takes, you got to be 21 years old. You got to reside in one of the states that allow it. And yes, Utah does allow it. States like California, no. You have to be a resident of the United States. You have to be legally able to purchase at least a handgun. You have to pass the ATF background check and pay the $200 transfer. And typically, what kind of weights are you seeing right now on, and
you know,
is there a difference?
It's about 9 months.
Okay.
I've seen them as quick as 6.
Yeah.
I've seen them up to 12, but
is there any rhyme or reason as to why one will be 6 months and one will be 9 months? No, I didn't think so. All right, but you don't carry a license with you. Basically, you do. You must provide on demand to law enforcement your registration paperwork. Essentially, it has your tax stamp on there, but you can carry a copy of it. And you have to, under the Act, you have to be able to carry a...
And subject to change. After term, regular rates apply, one flex device included. Subscriptions required to access streaming service.
Protecting and preserving your constitutional right to bear arms. It's Gun Radio Utah. Here's your host, Clark Kapotian.
Welcome back to Gun Radio Utah. My wife was listening to the advertisements on Gun Radio Utah. And apparently we have a diamond anniversary advertisement or something. And apparently, for your anniversary diamond, it's supposed to be at least twice as big as your initial diamond, apparently. Who makes these rules?
It's got to be the diamond seller.
Yeah, it's the diamond people that are making these rules. And
That rule.
Yeah, I mean, she just texted me and reminded me that an anniversary diamond is twice the size of a regular diamond. So, yeah. Anyway, hey, you're selling a lot of guns over there at Legacy. A lot of people over at Legacy.
Yeah.
Last Thursday. And I don't know if we were having a sale or whatever, but guns were going out the door. Ba-boom. And which led me to believe there's still a run on gun. You know, the one thing that guns aren't affected by is the offshore oil or the offshore shipping, not embargo, but all the ships offshore.
Oh, yeah, because supply chain.
Yeah, most of our guns are produced here in the United States. They just have to be trucked back and forth.
That's true.
But I don't know if this will be interesting to you, but you know that we're always talking about, you know, are people still buying guns? My gosh, this if the background checks are any indication, which they are. We are at, well, September, this last month, they just have the numbers, over 1.3 million background checks, which is a really good idea, you know, indicator of that, because they also use, some states like Utah uses the background check system to do a concealed carry permit check. Yep. But 1.3 million background checks for guns in last month. Guess what? That is the second highest September gun sale ever in the history of the United States, only to be surpassed by last September's 2020 September, which was more, but it's easily the second highest September ever. So to date, as of the end of September, 13.7 million background checks have been done. The year before the pandemic, 2019, so, you know, 2 years ago, that set a record at 13.2 for the whole year. We've already surpassed all of 2019, and we're at 13.7 million background checks. The vast majority, a third of those are new buyers.
Yep.
Interesting to note. And another interesting note is the vast majority of these are either handguns or AR-15 platforms. These are not the kind of guns they're not necessarily for hunting. They're for self-defense.
Yep.
Why do you think, Dave? Why when people come in, I mean, you interact with folks over there at Legacy, why are they buying a gun? Why are the ladies, which typically wouldn't be they're accounting for a third of the
gun?
You
know, a lot of new shooters, and then there's quite a number of people that have now just said, you know what, maybe I'm not a gun person, but I want to look into it, and they just enjoy shooting. Right, there's always the self-protection, and then you can kind of justify, well, I want to shoot for fun, but I also want to protect myself. And you get a lot of those people that are first-time buyers.
Do they? And crime is on the increase, and people are understanding this. It's like our friend George McMazian that was on earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they can read the newspapers. They see the crime that's occurring. And like he said, you know, the police show up and they conduct their investigation and they draw chalk outlines and that kind of stuff. He was the actual first responder. His daughter and he were the actual first responders there on the scene. It is what it is, and people are buying firearms and they're training. In fact, I was just talking to a woman last Saturday at the gun show, and she says, "I want to learn how to really operate my pistol. I'm buying a pistol. I want to learn what kind of holster to get, what kind of ammo to get, what kind of sights to get on if I'm going to get different sights. I want to learn how to use this thing." And I said, "Well, do you want a more advanced?" She says, "No, I want to start basic and get into advanced," because she really wants to. And I said, "You know what? Go talk to Michelle Camp with the Well-Armed Women." And
highly recommend Michelle.
Yeah, and they have classes over there at Legacy, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah, and can you still sign up online for those kind of things?
Sign up online.
So Michelle and Connie and the rest of them do a fantastic job, really, in their own right, excellent firearm instructors. And because I'm pretty picky about who I recommend for firearms training, and they are top of the list, Michelle and Connie and the rest of them there at the Well-Armed Women. So if you've got your spouse and maybe you don't want to train with your spouse.
I recommend that. Yeah. I'll tell you, my wife shoots on her own.
Yeah.
We shoot together, but yeah. But I let someone else give the pointers. It's just, it's better.
Okay. Excellent. Fantastic. And so if you go to Legacy, what's the, I was going to say the zip code for Legacy.
It is 1475 West, 9000 South.
And but you have a great online, you have a great web, whoever your web guy is, does a great web. What's the web address?
It is legacyshooting.com.
Legacyshooting.com. Can it get any easier than
that? That's pretty easy.
Dave Branham, you're fantastic. I always find out new stuff. I'm always excited about the new stuff. Now I'm going to go in the back of the gun safe, go find another gun that's broken or needs something. Now, here's a problem. I don't necessarily have too many broken guns now that I've been taking them into the gunsmith, but now I want stuff that's now I want to get some Cerakoted and laser engraved,
yeah,
and all sorts of stuff. So, all right, so we've still got, all right, let's see, what were we going to go over? We've got that. We were talking about the background checks. That's all done. We talked about NFA. Hey, folks, it is coming back to the legislative session here, coming right up, and sign up to become a member of the Utah Shooting Sports Council. Sign up to, at the very least, get our alerts. We have a fantastic group that does the alerts, and they do not spam you, and I can promise and guarantee you that they do not share your email or information with anyone. I do not even, as chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, have access to those emails. Because I have no reason to,
yeah.
And but we do not give them out. And so if you know, we've had people come to us, we've had retailers and that say, hey, can we get access to your thing? Say nope. But tell you what, if we like it, we'll put it in a newsletter, and then they can contact you. Thanks for listening to Gun Radio Utah. As always, stay safe, be careful, go out shooting, and clean up after yourself.